From the headquarters of Swinnerton, this is the Modern Built Environment podcast, featuring exclusive interviews with world-class thought leaders, executives, and civic leaders committed to a better and more beautiful built environment. Established in 1888 and built on a foundation of integrity, trust, and collaboration, our history has prepared us for this moment. Possibility is limited only by our imagination. We know what tomorrow can bring because we've seen thousands of tomorrows and are prepared to shape what comes next. Pride of ownership, peace of mind. Our podcast is hosted by Tom DiOro of The Modern Architect at KZSU at Stanford University. Go to swinnerton.com/podcast.
Hello, Ron, and welcome to the Modern Built Environment podcast. We're honored to have you today.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Tom.
Thank you, Ron. Ron is the national sales manager of Cerakladd, the leading manufacturer of specialized exterior building products for over 30 years in Japan. Their products include exterior rain screen siding systems, as well as roofing products and accessories. They're committed to superior quality, durability, and healthy, environmentally friendly living. Cerakladd also has a large market share in Japan and continues their success in the U.S. market. For more information, feel free to visit Cerakladd.com. Again, Cerakladd.com. Ron, as I said, welcome to our show. Thank you very much. I'd like to start off with, you know, what kind of inspired you to get in the construction business, if you will?
Well, getting into the construction business is kind of an old story. So I began in the industry while I was going to college, working for a family distribution business. And so I really learned the trade from the family. And it's a big industry. It's, it's a lot of interesting people, a lot of interesting things that you can do in the industry. So when I finished school, I decided to make a career of it. So I've been doing this for, nearly 35 years now.
What's your experience in the exterior cladding? Because we talked about before we got in to do the show of it's a multi-billion dollar industry. What sort of changes have you seen, say, the last 3 to 5 years in the exterior cladding?
Yeah, so historically, we've used different methods to manage moisture. Moisture is the big threat to a building. Moisture and then certainly UV, those types of things. But as the market, the industry, the community has really focused on sustainability, we've seen a lot of things change in terms of what the code requirements are and how we're building, how we're constructing things today. And so our particular system solution fits really well with a sustainable market. It's what's really built into the code now is kind of the requirement to have a rain screen. A rain screen is something that's been around for 2,000 years, you know, caveman days, where you had an exterior wall before the entrance to the cave to block the elements before you went in. And it's kind of the same simple principle of what we do with the building skin and creating a separation layer between that exterior skin and the interior framing of the building that gives you extra protection, gives you better moisture management. And really today is helping to put insulation outside the wall instead of inside the wall that really helps to improve the energy efficiencies of the buildings.
Just for the sake of curiosity, what damages have you seen from not doing so?
Oh, well, you know, the biggest issue you have is if you get moisture in the wall, and it's not really if, it's when you get moisture in the wall, if there's not a way for that moisture to get out, you have problems with things like mold. Mold is a real can be a real significant health concern. Also, when you have wood framing and you get moisture trapped in the wall, moisture degrades the wood faster than normal. So you wind up getting things like, you know, wood rot that occurs that can have structural impacts on the building in addition to the health impacts of the mold that grows. So designing the exterior envelope using a rain screen creates a path for that moisture to exit the building. It actually encourages venting with airflow behind the exterior skin that encourages moisture to vent outward and to be taken away from the building that can really have a big impact on reducing the likelihood that you'll have issues with mold and also protecting the materials that are used in the construction of that wall.
Yeah. How about your knowledge or your experience just with the health impact of an advantage?
Well, there's, I mean, the huge health impact, there's one, when you talk about mold, there's certain types of mold that can be very, very impactful on somebody's health in a building. We often refer to it as, you know, kind of the black mold. Mm-hmm. And you have black mold growing in your wall. You don't know it's there, but you just start to, the occupants of the building start to have health issues. So preventing that or helping to alleviate that type of an issue has a big impact on how healthy the building is. The other thing we look at is the world is really focused on energy, right? We want to use as little energy as we possibly have to, because the impact of producing energy is has very long-term, potentially dramatic impacts on, you know, on the planet. So when you get moisture in the typical insulation that's used today, the insulation doesn't perform the same. It doesn't have the same insulating value. So having a way to keep the moisture out, having a way to get the moisture out when it gets in, has a real big impact on how much energy is being used. And you look at the kind of the design trends. If you look at when LEED came about, mm-hmm. and it really started a real thought in sustainable design, it put us on a path that has taken us to the point now where we see most designers, whether they're trying to design a building to be a LEED certified project or not, they're still using those kind of core principles of designing sustainably. And so we're starting to see things like passive house, mm-hmm. and net zero designs, which are really taking the next step of how do we design to use the least amount of energy? How do we get to where we're actually net neutral in terms of how much energy we're using in a facility or a building versus how much energy can we produce at that site? And so having a cladding system, exterior skin that's designed around a rain screen, really can help these buildings perform. And when you start putting the insulation outside the wall instead of between the stud cavities, you now have a scenario where you have to have a rain screen. There's mm-hmm. no other way to do it. Yeah. So our solutions that we provide really tie in well to that whole trend in the design community.
Is there ever any legislation that impacts the use or non-use?
Well, of course. I mean, legislation impacts everything. The building code, and it varies all over the country. I think we just saw with this past year, this current year, we're almost to the end of the year, we saw places say we're still operating under building code text from 2009 have recently finally come to the point where they're, you know, they're at least with the code from 2015. And so we're seeing a dramatic change in what designers are having to deal with in places where under the 2009 code, you know, rain screen, continuous insulation, those types of concepts didn't really apply to what they were doing, whereas today they are. So yes, legislation, whether it be written legislation or whether it be the adoption of different standards in terms of the local code, has a big impact on how we're building, how designers are designing, and what the products that they're using have to be able to do to contribute to, you know, meeting the code requirements.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges, if you're at liberty to share, that some of the architects or building owners, builders may have to the exterior cladding?
Yeah. So
if they have any.
Of course, you talk to architects about the obstacles they face in designing. You know, the designers have visions. They're very creative people, and they have what they would like to provide for their clients. And then they have the restraints that they have to operate under. So obviously, they have to have products that can meet the code. They have to have products, or they find products that can achieve the design aesthetic that they're trying to accomplish. And of course, they have to have products that are sustainable. They don't have to, but they want products that are sustainable. They want products that are easily usable on site, keep things simple, keep things effective, can have a big impact on quality of the installation and the application. And then, of course, the one thing that every designer will tell you is kind of the biggest obstacle they face is they have budget constraints. Mm. And when you look around, every community has kind of a standard of the type of material they use. We're in Northern California right now. You see a lot of stucco or EIF systems used. And so there's ways that designers can kind of change so that everything doesn't look the same by choosing certain types of materials.
Excellent. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast, brought to you by Swinerton. We're talking today with Ron Lloyd, National Sales Manager of Cyraclad. For more information, please feel free to visit cereclad.com. Again, cereclad.com. Ron, if you're at liberty to share with us again, what recent projects are you working on or are you working with?
Well, you know, we work on all types of projects from commercial to multifamily, schools, different things like that. We recently did a chain hotel, if you will, a tower at Lake Washington, south end of Lake Washington up in Seattle. It was a pretty interesting project because, one, it was right on the waterfront. I mean, literally, you can jump in a boat in Seattle and motor across the lake to Renton, where this hotel is. Dock your boat and go in and have lunch and then head back over to Seattle on the boat. So it's in a unique place that had some constraints that had to be dealt with. There was certainly high wind. You're in an area where you've got a lot of open space. So the exposure was great. It's currently the tallest building in Renton, Washington, peaked out at 155 feet. And so working with the developer and the designer and the construction team to make sure that our system would perform properly at those extreme conditions was pretty interesting with the process that we went through to verify that. And so those types of projects we find very interesting. But we also do a lot of work in the housing side of the business, multifamily in particular. And we do a lot of work with designers and developers and community organizations that are designing and building low-income housing, helping to help, you know, the community, people within the community have an affordable place along the coast. And in just about every major metropolitan area, the city life has become very expensive. And so being able to work with those design teams to build projects that have a real impact for people, it can be pretty exciting and fun to do.
Yeah. Can you share with us a bit how, you know, the process works working with a lot of these designers?
Well, so most of the time it starts with the designers having their vision of what it is that they want this project to look like. The architects work with the owners, the developers, whoever's, you know, funding the project. And of course, they have their ideas of this is kind of the concept that we want. And then it's the design community's job to take that concept and make it a reality. And so most of the time we get involved at that early stage where they've got maybe schematics that they're starting to look at and trying to create not so much color in the early stages as patterns and designs and maybe some color as well. Mm-hmm. And they've got to figure out all through the process, the design team has to figure out is what they're designing going to fit with the budget. And so we work with them to help them find solutions that that our system will work both in terms of wall systems as well as creating aesthetics that they're trying to accomplish and that they want to see. Designers like natural materials, sure, but natural materials can be very expensive. They can also have significant maintenance requirements. They also, taking natural materials may not be as sustainable as what they'd like to see. So coming to us, we have the ability to give them the look of natural materials and different types of finishes with a product that is highly sustainable, has a high recycled content, is fully recyclable at end of life, and really has a good footprint for the environment. So it gives us the ability to work on all these different types of projects and in many cases help them replace wood or concrete or stone or something with a more affordable option, a more sustainable option, and in some cases, a more durable option.
Can you share with us how the process or the manufacturing and how sustainable it is?
Well, when you look at fiber cement manufacturing, fiber cement as a product, which is what our system is made out of, is it's what's thought of as like a 100-year lifetime product. So one, from a sustainability standpoint, doing something once every 100 years is far more sustainable than, you know, doing something that you've got to replace every 10, 15, yeah, 20, or 30 years, right? So there's a big advantage there. Secondarily, a significant portion of fiber cement is made from recycled materials. So the fiber content is fully recycled content. We use fly ash in the mix. Fly ash is a byproduct of production, so it's a recycled content. We use some cement that's components that are recycled, and then we have certainly Portland cement. So all in all, you're looking at, you know, north of 40% recycled content, with a pretty good share of that being post-consumer. So it's not all just pre-consumer recycled content, which means it's products that have been used and had their life and come back and been reclaimed and recycled to be reused again, versus pre-consumer is mostly manufacturing scraps and waste that gets put back into the manufacturing process. So being able to utilize that full breadth of material, we think has a real positive message for the community, for the design community, in terms of what we're doing from a recycled standpoint, from a sustainability standpoint, for our contribution.
Yeah. And the color and texture, what's the diversity of the color and texture?
There's a lot of options that are available. With our particular systems, we give you a variety of finishes, some of which are completely unique that you don't find in the natural environment, and then some of which are doing things like we're trying to, say, look at design trends where natural concrete type feel and look is very popular right now. And we've got a product called Boardform Concrete that's designed to imitate that look of creating concrete using board forming is kind of the reason the name comes about. And what we can do with that texture, we can give you that look, but it's a significant cost savings to what it costs to actually produce real board form concrete.
Is there a percentage you're able to tell our audience or no?
I mean, it's a fraction.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know about a particular percentage, but we're talking a fraction of the cost.
Okay.
So there can be huge cost savings. A good example we did very recently in downtown San Francisco. We got to participate on a project, a market rate housing project, but the whole interior courtyard of the project for five stories has got our product on it, and it just looks fabulous. It was one of those scenarios where the client told us afterwards that the city, who a lot of people think city of San Francisco, doesn't really like fiber cement because there's a lot of variation between low quality and high quality. And if you don't understand, it can really be difficult to tell the difference. What am I getting? So you don't want low quality because you got to replace it a lot. It's got a lot of maintenance cost. And so the client told us afterwards, they said, yeah, even the people from the city of San Francisco like the product. And it was like, well, that's great. That's great to hear. You know, this it's fiber cement, but maybe we can help them to understand there are differences between types of fiber cement, and they're not all the same. So it's important to understand what those differences are so that you are using good quality materials that'll last.
Excellent. Now, I noticed on the website, we make it easy for designers.
Yes. Yes. So one of the things that we've seen, if you think about the old days where I love to see some of the old pictures from, 100 years ago where you've got these large sheets of paper spread out on floors and you got architects literally laying on the floor, drawing because they're maybe building a tower or something. And then we moved into the computer age and we had AutoCAD, and a lot of design work was done. A lot of that detailing work is done in AutoCAD. But really today we've seen the trend with Autodesk moving to Revit. And what Revit does is Revit allows the project to be designed all with the computer. And it allows manufacturers and providers, building products providers, to create what are called resources for Revit. And so we've recently launched our resources that gives the design community 2D hatch patterns, which are used for two-dimensional work. It gives them 3D renderings. And it gives them these resources with all the product information and code incorporated into that resource. So not only can they very quickly and easily change out what the skin looks like, what a color may look like, but it makes it easy for their team to take that information from the design side and move it into the construction document side, because all of that product information is incorporated into the resource as well.
Excellent. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast presented by Swinerton. We're talking today with Ron Lloyd, National Sales Manager of Ciraclad. For more information, you can visit their website at ciraclad.com. Again, ciraclad.com. Ron, are there any suggestions that you would may have for architects or designers or developers, builders? So they have it may be simplistic, but just kind of have an understanding of the not just the importance, but the value of exterior cladding.
Well, I think what's important to understand is that there's common materials that get used a lot because of cost. There's There's lower cost materials that get used over and over and over again. And we wind up building, you know, cities and communities that they all look the same. Everything looks the same.
That's true.
And yeah. Designers don't want that. Designers want to have options. They want to be creative. And it's important for them to understand there are solutions that they can find that are out there that don't double or triple or quadruple the cost of the skin. And our whole approach to the market is to bring solutions that provide them these options mm-hmm. without blowing the owner's budget. And so really, if the designers understand that, yes, they can create the different looks that they want, and they can do it affordably, but they've just got to continue to do their research and find the solutions that let them do that. And we think with the variety of textures and finishes that we offer, that we can provide what they need to create these different looks, and we can do it in a fashion that lets them have a high performance building that's good for the occupants, that's good for sustainability, long term performance of the building, and fits within the scope of the budget that their clients are working with, and lets them be more creative and start to remove that kind of cookie cutter look that we often see in the community.
True. Yeah, very true. How about if you can recall a challenging project that went from, I call it challenge to glory, and that it looked like, wow, how are we going to work with this? And it just turned out glorious. You don't have to name names for confidentiality, but any project or projects in particular that fit that sort of, wow, that's going to be an interesting challenge, and then it came out.
Yeah, so I think when you look at how you tie in different types of material for the building exterior, one of the challenges that the designers obviously face, as well as the construction teams face, is as we create different looks on the skins, and when you talk about city codes and regulations, mm-hmm. We will face scenarios where the design team is facing this scenario where, you've got a building that's being built on a corner, and on one street, you might have historical aspect across the street that the design team has to come up with, a skin that fits within that. On the next street, maybe things have changed and it's more modern and it's a totally different look. And maybe there's a third street around the backside that, same type of thing. So sure. What we see is we may see 4, 3, 7, 8 different types of material that's being used on the building face to skin it. And it's a real challenge. How do you make all of those transitions? How do you make things match up? Different types of materials may have different depths of projection that you have to deal with. How do you set your windows? So you've got all of these different factors that go into tying together these different looks. And we really enjoy, we get that opportunity to come in where a design team has come up with the aesthetics that they want, the look that they want, and now the construction team kind of has to figure out, how do I put this all together? And maybe they've had some concrete and some brick, and they've got some wood, and they've got some metal, and we've got finishes that can closely imitate all those different looks. And we can tie that together, and now the system all works together. The transitions work together because it's all the same material. And then when you see it on the wall and you see how that all looks and how everything blends together well and it gives a different look, it's quite satisfactory to be able to be part of those types of projects. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite project, or are you, can you actually tell us?
Right now the favorite project I have, I don't know that it's open yet, but we just recently completed Victor Valley Community College. Oh. This is an example where the firm, they chose a variety of materials at the design level. The project manager got it and said, okay, geez, how am I going to put all this together? And so he called us, and we went in and kind of worked through the different looks that they were creating, came up with a package of materials, and then worked all the way through. It was real fun because we got to engage not only with the designer, but we also got to engage with the school community, mm-hmm. the community college district. We got to engage with the installers who were bidding it. This was managed by a construction manager, so there was no prime GC. So you're working with various trades. And when it was all said and done, it looks beautiful. And they've used a variety of materials. We've mixed colors in the design.
In that case,
they were all standard colors.
Okay.
Although certainly we do offer custom color. That's available to the design community. But just being able to blend those different products together really match the vision. I always like to go look at the renderings.
I like that.
The design community, yeah. Design team comes up with, and then when it's done, look at the pictures. How well did it, how closely did the actual build match what was designed? And that one's pretty cool because it's actually pretty darn close.
Yeah. The multi-housing as well. Can you share with us a bit about the multi-housing and that niche for you?
Well, if multi-housing isn't really a niche right now, because if you look at following the housing collapse.
Oh, it's a necessity. Actually.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, that's for a number of years, that was all that was being built. Yeah. I mean, single family just finally started really building again. But the multifamily housing, whether it's market rate or whether it's lower income housing, is being built all over the country. Every market that sector is strong, and so you have your mixture of both. You've got to present an image that's marketable, but you also have to manage cost, right? And so being able to, work in that sector, we do a lot of work in that sector because we can provide solutions that help the designers kind of create that look, but still kind of fit with the owner's budget. So it's a big part of the business that we do, but we're also seeing a pretty strong growth in the public sector right now. There's a lot of school, a lot of school bonds around the country that have been passed, a lot of money that's been put into the school districts, updating schools and building new schools as we get more growth. In these, in the inner market, we need more schools to support that, and so we do a lot of work in that sector as well.
Excellent. Anything that we may not have touched on in our time, Ron, that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I think it's from our perspective. I think what's important to understand is from a design community, you've got to pick partners that will work with you and support what you're trying to accomplish, and that will help educate what your different options are, because we try not to just focus on, here's what we provide, but helping the designers understand how it compares to other materials so that they can have realistic expectations as they go through that process of figuring out what they're designing, whether it meets the budget. Okay. We think that's important. And also for the end user, the building owner, is understanding the differences they're going to get in performance, right? If you're owning an asset that's a revenue generating asset long term, you have to pay attention to not only what is it costing me to build that asset, but how much am I going to have to spend year after year after year to maintain that asset. And so we do a lot of things that we work with the developers, the owners, to make sure they understand kind of what the impact of the performance is of the different types of materials as well, so they can make good educated decisions on how to spend their money.
Super. Ron, it's been an honor and pleasure having you today.
Great. Thanks, Tom. I really enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast brought to you by Swinerton. You can find us online at swinerton.com/podcast. Again, swinerton.com/podcast. Our guest today has been Ron Lloyd, National Sales Manager of Cyraclad, the leading manufacturer of specialized exterior building products for over 30 years. Their products include exterior rain screen sliding system as well as roofing products and accessories. Committed to superior quality, durability, and a healthy, environmental friendly living. For more information, feel free to visit cyraclad.com. Again, cyraclad.com. Please join us again next time when we welcome another leading architect, engineer, builder, manufacturer, or civic leader committed to building a better and more beautiful built environment for healthier cities, communities, and lives. I'm Tom Dior.
The Modern Built Environment podcast is recorded at the Swinerton headquarters and on location. The recording engineer is Stephen Blatton. The executive producer and host of the Modern Built Environment podcast is Tom Dioro. And we're all assisted by Mr. Eric Foster. This is the Modern Built Environment podcast by Swinerton.